This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates, and I'm Tom Turbeville. World War II produced volumes of stories of survival for the American GI. Robert Sweat doesn't really consider his story any more incredible than most, but just wait till you hear it. Bob and Mary Sweat are retired to their 5 Lazy S Ranch off FM 390 between Somerville and Burton, but retirement was the furthest thing from Tech Sergeant Robert Sweat's mind on January 7, 1944, and now 60 years later, he can tell his story of his B-24 Liberator hit by enemy fire over France, how as a waist gunner, he was the only survivor as he lived by grabbing a parachute from a plane that burned and fell. Knocked out by an explosion, he woke up outside the plane, falling at the same rate as the pieces of his Liberator, at the same speed as fellow flyers whose fate was not as fortunate.
10 men killed that day within, I'd say, from the time we were hit, I'd say I might have had 6 seconds to get my chute on. And I mean the whole plane just simply deteriorated. When they hit us, the top turret fired 2 short bursts, just brrrt, brrrt. And then the whole thing, you just heard a spewing sound, and everything, it seemed like you would just put on the brakes up there, and everything had a tendency to move forward. And I reached down, my chute was fumbling around on the bottom. I reached down and got it, and I didn't have but one hand I could use. And those old haim hooks on the side, it was hard to get that thing on. And then I looked out the window, our number 4 engine, and a portion of the wing was off by itself, just burning like if you could feature a rag saturated in gasoline on fire. And the plane flipped over to the right and started a flat spin. And I just barely snapped my chute, and I stumbled over. It kind of threw me over to the left waist window. And I got my head in my chute just out in the slipstream. And that's as far as I could go because I felt like I weighed 500 pounds. The acceleration was so great. Right. And then there was just a terrific explosion. I mean, it was deafening. And I'm sure it knocked me out for a few seconds. The next thing I remember, it got deathly quiet. Mm-hmm. There was not a sound. And I couldn't see. And, of course, that's frightening. I reached up for my eyes, and my oxygen mask had been jerked across my eyes. And, of course, when I pulled it off, there I was. It looked like a junkyard up there. Flak suits and machine guns and pieces of that B-24, we were all just falling together. I couldn't tell I was moving except the flaps on my heated suit, the flying suit, had been ripped off, and they were just a-flopping. And I could look down, I could see the earth spinning below me. And of course, I knew I had to do something. I started to pull my ripcord, and I couldn't. I had 3 pair of gloves on this hand, and every time I tried to pull it, it'd slip off. So I pulled my gloves off with my teeth and then pulled my ripcord. And it sure was a good feeling. It's like a big man like yourself grabbed me by the collar and jerked me about 6 feet. But it sure felt good.
Yeah. We'll have more right after this.
Meese & Associates Attorneys at Law invite you to come watch Texas history come alive at the Brazos Valley Museum. Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers is on display right now at the Brazos Valley Museum at the Brazos Center. The exhibit takes a non-biased view of the struggle for control of land and other rights of the period. Rare examples of weaponry, dress, and culture have been brought together from 5 different museums and a dozen private collections. Meese & Associates say, don't miss Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers, right now at the Brazos Valley Museum.
Sergeant Robert Sweat was alive, the only survivor of the Liberator named Trouble. But his adventure in survival was just starting, believe me. We'll tell you more of the incredible story tomorrow. I'm Tom Turbeville. For Meese & Associates, this is Bravo Brazos Valley. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates, and I'm Tom Turbeville. January 7th, 1944, certainly no ordinary day for Tech Sergeant Robert Sweat, Army Airman on his 17th combat mission in the European theater of World War II. Yesterday, we told you of his improbable survival after his B-24 Liberator, an aircraft called Trouble, was shot down over France. It was a mission planned to bomb a chemical plant over Ludwigshafen, Germany. But they had drifted 100 miles off course over German-occupied France. 3 B-24s were shot down on that mission. Sergeant Sweat, finding his ripcord as he plummeted to earth outside of his destroyed aircraft, was the only survivor of the 11 who flew with him on Trouble that day. Once on the ground, his miraculous story of survival was just starting.
Our orders were, when we hit, to bury our chutes, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Well, I hit in kind of a plowed field, but of course the ground was frozen. And I saw a little trench, and I pulled my chute over and tried to bury it, and I just ripped all my fingernails off my hand. That ground was frozen hard. I said, the heck with this. So I started slinging Mae West one way and a big flying suit the other, and my boots, I ripped them off. I hit on my ankle, and really, it's swollen. I had to rip my boot off of it. I was just slinging things as I ran. Looked out beside, and I saw these Frenchmen. They were all right there looking at me. And one of them said, Anglais. And I said, no, American. This young kid, he took a handkerchief out and started spitting on it and wiping my eyes. I just bloody as I could be. I'd been hit in the mouth, I guess, with a machine gun. I looked down and see my lip sticking out. Well, even before that, when I first hit the ground, when I was coming down, the blood was squirting out of my neck. After I pulled my ripcord, the blood was squirting out. So I reached up and pinched that together until I hit the ground. And then the first thing I did is stuff mud in it to stop it, because I had to do something. One of them gave me a little shirt to put on, another one a pair of pants, and another one a little towel.
You know, it's popular these days for Americans to criticize the French, but Robert Sweat doesn't buy it, not for a minute. The Frenchman indeed saved his life, passed him off as a French deaf mute to the Germans that they encountered along the way.
And by that time, the Germans were coming. I mean, they even had planes, low-flying aircraft coming over, dogs barking. And this German started to cross, hollering at us, big old gun with him, and he's coming right towards us. And he saw my chute, where I'd left my chute over there, and he turned, and when he did, I noticed the other Frenchmen were picking up pieces of the B-24. So I just reached down and got a big old piece about the size of a door. And there was a little boy about 9 years old following me. And we came by a little grove of trees. And just as we came by it, I dropped that thing and dived in. It's just briars. Went up through this, just a small place, maybe the size of this house. And I went over on the side and I found a little depression. And I covered myself with leaves. And I stayed there all afternoon. I mean, I was cold and... And I just praying for darkness to come. And finally, it was getting real, almost dark. And I thought, boy, I've got it made. And the crows started coming in and lighting in these trees, going, yak, 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 yak. Mm-hmm. I thought, goodness, I've made it this far. Now they're going to get me serious world.
The story has a lot more to tell. The Gestapo, a double agent Canadian soldier, they were all part of the cast of characters that Robert Sweat encountered on his journey that eventually took him home. Home today is a quiet ranch house on FM 390 between Somerville and Burton, where he and his wife Mary will proudly show you the photos of their recent return to France to recall the 60th anniversary of that day. That's coming up next in the series on veteran Robert Sweat. I'm Tom Turbeville. For Meese and Associates, this is Bravo Brazos Valley. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese and Associates, and I'm Tom Turbeville. Well, yesterday we left Tech Sergeant Robert Sweat on the ground in German-occupied France after his B-24 Liberator had been shot down in flames January the 7th, 1944. He was the only survivor of 11 airmen on that bomber that day. His improbable escape was only starting then. Hiding in ditches, disguising himself as a deaf-mute Frenchman from the Germans, his travels had one goal, and that was to get back home, but he had plenty of hurdles along the way, any one of which could have meant his execution. He met a man who turned out to be a Canadian double agent named Larry Yvonne.
And he asked me my age and said, what bomb group are you from and when you were shot down? We went up to a cafe and we went into a little department there and ordered some coffee and some drinks. He is asking me questions, what I had for lunch or breakfast the morning we left, who the pilot was, what our mission was. Then he looked at me and he said, I'm going to go check this. He said, this is not right. He says, you won't be alive in the morning. Gosh, if he'd have told me that, I wouldn't have known what I had to eat or anything else. He came back and evidently everything was all right.
He was staying in a house surrounded by Germans. He continued his disguise.
And I could look across the street every morning and there were hundreds of Germans going through calisthenics. I mean, right across the street. Larry Yvonne, this double agent that took me over there, he told me years later that I sat there one night, a Gestapo came in and talked to this mechanic. And we were sitting on the couch. And I was sitting down by the light reading, And I was reading the bubonic plague in Italy. It's an English book. And I sat there, and he stayed there, I guess, for an hour. And this mechanic, he was talking. I mean, he was talking a mile a minute to him. And I didn't know for years later, but he was a Gestapo. I was sitting right there within 4 feet of him, reading for, I guess, an hour. Reading an English book. Of course, he introduced me, but I just nodded my head because...
Because the fake ID the French soldiers had made for him indicated that he was deaf. And it got checked out often. Each time, a battle of nerves.
One of them stuck a machine gun in my face, and the other had a flashlight flashing its nose. And I didn't know what to do, so I just reached in my pocket and gave him my, they call it Papi Didinantiti, it's an identification card.
Uh-huh.
And he'd shine the light on it, and he'd look at me. He'd shine the light on it. And then he reached over and patted me on the back, stuck it back in my pocket, and said, go on.
We'll have more right after this.
Meese and Associates Attorneys at Law invite you to come watch Texas history come alive at the Brazos Valley Museum. Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers is on display right now at the Brazos Valley Museum at the Brazos Center. The exhibit takes a non-biased view of the struggle for control of land and other rights of the period. Rare examples of weaponry, dress, and culture have been brought together from five different museums and a dozen private collections. Meese and Associates say, don't miss Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers, right now at the Brazos Valley Museum.
Robert Sweat's journey home seemed to be getting shorter as he eventually found himself on a train bound for the coast, but the danger was not near over. Once he found himself on a train with the German Gestapo checking papers.
This agent came through and he said the Gestapo are searching, checking the passes up in the other cars. We didn't know what we was going to do. We didn't have any identification papers or anything. One of the boys had an old rusty knife, and I was sitting on the right side, right by the door. And they said, well, what are we going to do? They gave me the knife. Says, there's always two of them comes by the check. Says, when they open the door to come in, says, we're going to grab this one, jerk him in. The other boy's on the other side of him is going to grab the other one. You're going to stab him. Oh, man, now, you think that will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I was holding that old knife right between my legs.
He never had to use the knife. It turns out that the Germans never got that far down the train. But his escape was not over. Robert Sweat lives near Burton with his wife Mary on a ranch off FM 390, so he lives to tell the story, and he'll tell more of it on Monday. Robert Sweat, proud veteran of the Brazos Valley. I'm Tom Turbeville for Meese & Associates. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates, and I'm Tom Turbeville. The story of Robert Sweat's 9-month mission to Europe during World War II would indeed take that long, maybe longer, to do it justice. His is not the only story of magnificent survival. He's not the only GI who cheated death. Matter of fact, it wasn't a story he could tell or cared to tell for some 50 years. Last week, he talked about his B-24 Liberator being shot down over German-occupied France, how he was the only survivor of his 11 fellow crewmen, and how for months, with the help of Frenchmen, fooled the German Gestapo into thinking that he was a deaf-mute Frenchman himself. The guys worked all the way to home, a destination he never really knew he'd reach until the end, when he found himself offshore in a PT gunboat, a benefactor of a French rescue mission.
They told us not to make a sound, and we didn't. I mean, nobody made any sound. And they put me on top of one of those big diesel motors in a box. Man, I was sitting cramped in there, and I must have been there for 2 hours. And they'd start the motors, they'd turn them off. We'd just sit there and rock for a minute or two, and then they'd start them up, turn them off. This went on for, maybe an hour or so. And then all of a sudden, of course, they poured the coal to it. You could feel that old PT boat just felt like it's coming out of the water. And they came down and said, you can get out now. And I went outside and I looked out, and boy, that's the prettiest sight I've ever seen. Those waves and that PT boat, I guess they had it wide open. We were going to England. So that about sums it up.
Now, the popular French bashing of the modern day is lost with Robert Sweat. These people, of their greatest generation, saved his life.
They're the greatest people. My wife and I just got back from France. We were asked to come over. They dedicated a monument to my crew that were killed over there. They were killed. And we just got back from France, and they were really nice. They wanted to be sure that we understood that the French people really liked the Americans, that it was strictly the government, politics, this other.
We'll have more right after this.
Meese and Associates Attorneys at Law invite you to come watch Texas history come alive at the Brazos Valley Museum. Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers is on display right now at the Brazos Valley Museum at the Brazos Center. The exhibit takes a non-biased view of the struggle for control of land and other rights of the period. Rare examples of weaponry, dress, and culture have been brought together from five different museums and a dozen private collections. Meeson Associates say, don't miss Warrior Cultures, Comanche War Parties versus Texas Rangers, right now at the Brazos Valley Museum.
Tech Sergeant Robert Sweat, who with his wife Mary lives near Burton off FM 390, kept much of his story to himself for most of the 60 years since. He wasn't allowed to tell it. Emotionally, was not so inclined.
Well, I couldn't tell it because I signed a paper, all of us did, that were shot down and got out with the French underground, that we could not discuss it for 50 years. You know, we were trying to protect the French people. And so that's the reason none of us ever said anything. You know, we just didn't, of course, I told the kids over a period of time, you know, a little bit about it.
Right.
But, of course, I would like to forget the whole thing, but that you can't do. When I bailed out, the assistant engineer was falling right with me, and he wasn't over 8 feet from me, and he didn't have a chute on.
Mm-hmm.
That stayed with me all those years. I couldn't do a thing. You're just helpless up there.
Now his story is his.